Those guys are still handing out the things. I just want to share. I'm just going to be a few minutes because I want you to leave a little early so you can stop in the back, hang out, fellowship, and be with people and just wish them a Merry Christmas. And I'm looking forward to this season. I always do, but this is a season that we're in right now, both locally and nationally. I mean, tragedy that happened in Leroy just this past week and then in California. It's hard to imagine that anything good can come out of this time, but I want you to know it can. God will work all things out together for good. He doesn't create the negativity, but after it happens, after the enemy does something, God will take it. He'll work something good out of it. And I want to encourage you to believe what God really has for you this season. I really want you to believe that. He came for you and I. He came. He came to do good to you, not to harm you. Psalm 91 says, because you have made the Lord, and this is so important, you made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your heart and of your life, if you haven't made him first in your life, you got to do that before you even leave today. You don't have to wait until you get here to do it, but you have to do that. Because without him, if you don't have him as a refuge in your life, when difficulties and challenges come and you feel like you're on your own, it's tough. But he says, because you've made the Lord, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. I love that. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. I love that. Evil, the scripture says, 1,000 can fall on my right, 10,000 on my left. It won't come nigh me. Does that mean that I won't be exposed to evil? No. We live in a fallen world. We're going to see it. But to the person who allows their life to be held in the hand of God, he'll deliver you. My goodness. I know for some of you, this may be just going between your ears and nothing, but I'm sensing somebody is really drawing on some anointing here today. I know when I feel it. He says, because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall come near you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. We don't pray to angels. We pray to the Lord who dispatches the angels. Do you know that right now, if you've made the Lord your refuge, if you've made him your Lord and Savior, that you have an angelic host circling around you, protecting you, trying to keep evil and harm from you at all times, that Jesus himself has dispatched that angelic host to be around you and to protect you from harm that would try to come and befall you in every way. You ought to be happy about that today. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And God's greatest miracle isn't that he's just going to change your circumstances, but his greatest miracle is that he wants to change your heart and my heart. That's the greatest miracle. And so, you know, I hate to, it seems like it was just a few weeks ago that the other tragedy happened in Colorado, and it did. And I hate to show any emphasis on that, but I believe as the house of God and the people of God that I need to make just a couple thoughts on that. And Christians, we need to know how we should respond to something like that. So I wrote down a couple thoughts, and I just want to share them with you quickly. It says, number one, we must be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. It's not just enough for you to hear it. You have to be able to give an answer for that. You have to know that Christ rose from the dead and he went to heaven and he purposed to make a way there, eternal life for those that believe. And the gospel tells us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I. Not when we were good, when we were bad. He died for you and I. And even in the brokenness of this world, it cannot kill what God has intended for your life and for my life. And in the face of this, we must know that our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in Jesus, who goes beyond this world. He is out of this world. He has created eternity for you and I. And so even if we go through a challenge here on earth, this is not our final home. And for some of you, my father-in-law used to tell me when I was a kid, after I first got saved, he says, "Marty, don't get your roots too deep in this earth." He said, "You're just here for a season, and then you'll be gone." And the Bible says that heaven is our citizenship, not this earth. You are here for a moment, and you'll be gone. Focus on the Lord. Give him everything that you have, and know the hope of your calling. You must be able to get an answer for the hope that you have. The second thing is that we must fight to forgive. And this is so incredible. When the AM&E church in Charleston, when the man walked in after a prayer meeting, he began to shoot and kill people. Their response there wasn't in hatred, and the world stood by and saw how real Christians act. One by one, they looked at their killer and said, "I forgive you, I forgive you. Give your life to God, I forgive you." And if we're honest, what is right is rarely easy in our lives. And I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He said, listen to this, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." Everybody says, you just got to love everybody, until somebody has hurt you so bad that that attitude is challenged. Well, I want to tell you today, even though it may be challenged in your life, Jesus has come to help you and I. This is the season. Number three, we have to learn to trust God. No matter what you see in the world, the tragedies, the depravity of man, we have to trust in the Lord. And it's not wrong to think that we can ask God, why? Why is these things happening? But at the end of it, we have to find faith in the one that holds it all in his hand. Because God is always at work, even in the darkness. And his silence should never be interpreted for apathy or disconnected. Amen. And it certainly is not the time to make erratic or responsible statements put up like such newspapers as the New York Daily News. Foolishness at its best. Written by some person sitting off in a corner who has the ability to pontificate to the public about something that he doesn't know. God is fixing this, and he did fix it when he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins and bring salvation and hope to anyone who will believe in him. That is wrong. This, my brothers and sisters, is right. Number four, we must work for justice and resist vengeance's temptations. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." That's God's. That's not yours and I. But the Bible also says in Proverbs 21:15, destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. You don't have to sweat it. God will have it all under control. Keep your heart pure. Keep it right towards him. Keep your life open and serve him with a greater passion. We are living in a day where little folding of our hands and little lukewarm preaching and living is not going to cut it any mole. We're going to have know the truth of God's word and live by it and believe it with all of our heart. And if you do, he's going to protect you. He's going to keep you. And at best, you've got a place in eternity. He has made a mansion for you. He's been working at it over 2,000 years. It's got your face on it. It's got your name on it. And when you get there, a celebration is going to be taking place there like you have never seen before. Amen. Come on, do you receive that? So, just for a couple more minutes, I want to talk to you about this simplified Christmas. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, I love this story. It's a beautiful Christmas story, but it reminds us about the mission of Jesus and God. And the Bible says, "She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." And I love that. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to beat you. He came to save you. The Bible says in verse 22, "And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being translated means God with us. Oh, I'm glad to hear that today. Some people pray with me that God will be with me. I don't have to pray it. He is already with you if you've made him your Lord and your Savior. And you can give up today, and you can believe that God isn't around. You can choose to go on in your life and choose to believe that he's not a part of who you are. He's not interested in your future. You can adapt to that spirit that nothing good could ever happen in your life. And you can also let the past issues of your life dictate who you will become or what your future will be. But that's not what Christmas is about, and that's not what Jesus came to do. The Bible says that he sent his son Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. It means God is not only there on the day he was born, but he is still with us today. And he is the only God in this world that ever was, is, and is to come, who lived, who died, who rose again, walked among men, ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says, is there ever making intercession for us? But he left his Holy Spirit not only to be with us, but to live in us. And he is with us to do something beautiful that we could never do on our own. He's still saving the lost. He's still healing the sick. He's still restoring broken lives. He's still doing the work of Emmanuel because he said he is with us. And I feel like preaching in here today. I can't rush through the holidays and look through the trees and get caught up in the traffic jams and the lines and the email ads and forget what this time of the year really means. He came to save us. He came to deliver us. He came to let us know he's in us and with us wherever we go. I believe that with all my heart. We must move beyond the place where we feel God is near and realize that he is inside of us. To be near us, he sent his son to us that he could be with us, inside of us. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 7, it says, "For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die." Verse 8, "But God demonstrate his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners," what? "Christ died for you and I." He came not because we were good. We were bad. And I don't mean bad good. I mean bad, bad. You were bad, but he looked at you in the depravity of your life, in the loss, in the darkness, in the shallowness of who you are. And he said, "I love them just the way they are. I'm going to send my son, Jesus, to die and pay the penalty that they deserve on their life. I'm going to put it all on him on the cross. And when he rises again from the grave, you also can rise from the grave. You don't have to live buried up and beaten down anymore. Jesus has come." Come on, Merry Christmas to you today. I said this verse earlier, John 3:17. "God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God's not uptight about your past. He died for your future, though. He came to save you from your sin, to save us. And we all need forgiveness from our sins because we have all sinned. But Jesus meets us in the point of our sin. And his purpose is not to leave us there, but to save us from the work that sin can do in our lives. Sin will destroy your life. Sin will hurt you and it'll bring pain and agony to you. And God's not mad at you if you have sinned. He loves you so much, he wants to get you out of the mess and get you so the enemy can't throw you and dash you down to the ground anymore. He has come to save you from your sin, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the presence of sin in your life. And he forgives you freely. It doesn't cost anything because you can't pay for it anywhere. He forgives you completely. There's no hidden things afterwards, and he doesn't want anything extra from you. And he forgives you instantaneously when you ask him to. I don't care who you are, what you've been up to, where you've been last night or last week or the other night or where you think you're going to this week. If you'll ask him, he'll come in. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a new life. He'll make you brand new all over again. My goodness, I'm just happy about this today. This is going to be a great Christmas. And God is doing a work in somebody's life right now. And we're going to pray for you at the end. And I want to tell all my prayer people that come down to the front, you better get ready because God is going to use you in a great way today. Number two, He is with us. God sent His Son into a fallen world to help us by being with us. And don't think that He didn't know about the days that we're living in right now, that they would come. He knew it. Don't think that He didn't know what you'd be going through at the toughest moment in your life. He came. He's with us. Don't you think that even His plan to be with you, He stopped thinking about it when you made a blunder or when you made a mistake. He is still with you. He is with us when we ask Him to come in. He doesn't come in. He's not fickle like that. He is a good God. He'll come in and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Need to know that today. Need to remember that today. And third, He is for us because He is with us. Listen to this, Romans 8:31. What shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That was one of the first scriptures that ever came into my heart. If God be for us, who can be against us? He goes on to say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Nothing in this world. I don't care who's against you today. I don't care if you're going through an issue with a family member. I don't care if you're struggling with something in your past. I don't care if you're in trouble right now. If you're broke, busted, and disgusted, nothing can separate you from the love. He came to save you and to be with you, and He is for you today. He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I'm talking to somebody today. You could have walked out last night and did the most heinous, foolish act ever and showed up in church, put your halo on, adjusted your collar, and looked like everything is cool. God knows what you did. I don't care what you did, but He came to save you from that. He came to deliver you from that. I'm not preaching down against you if that's you, but He has come to lift you up. And we're living in a season, my brothers and my sisters, and I didn't plan on saying this. I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit that we are closer to the end times and to the return of Christ than we have ever been before in our lives. And that's nothing to fear about. The Bible says when you who know Him see these things coming, lift up your head, rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. Come on today. God cares for you. He knows you. He has done something for you. And I'm here to convey to you that in the middle of all the stuff that's going on in our lives, in our society, in our culture, get through all the noise, get through all the junk, get through all the business, and let God touch your life so you can simplify Christmas by simply trusting Him with it all. Come on, did you receive anything today? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great praise today. Prayer people, come on down. God's going to do something powerful in the next few minutes. What He's going to do right now is going to mean more than anything that has happened already. I trust Him. Now, you folks that are coming down to pray, you better pray yourself and get ready because God is going to release something over somebody's life today. God's not mad at you, but He's got a plan for your life. He wants to help you. He doesn't want to leave you in that. Don't stay stuck in your mess. Come out of that. If you're one of those people that just get miserable at this time of the year and you don't even know why, come down. Let them pray over you and let them declare some joy into your life. If you're a person here today, you got a bad report last week or the week before or the year before, you're still struggling over that, I want you to come down. God's going to help you with that today. If you've never given your life to Christ, today is your day. You need to come down and do that. You can't go on another day. You say, well, I just don't like church. I don't like what it's all about. Sometimes neither do I. But I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. And I love God's people. And when you put a bunch of imperfect people in one place, guess what? There's going to be some imperfect things that are going to happen. But there's nothing imperfect about a Savior and a risen Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. Yay! 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your head, close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name today, God, you're going to make old things come alive. You're going to deliver people from darkness into your marvelous light. You're going to lift the burden off of somebody's life today. You're going to open blind eyes so people can see. Hallelujah. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a minute. And I'm going to just close. And when I close, I'm going to ask those of you who need a touch from God in your life to come quickly. But I sense I see somebody as I close my eyes in my spirit right now. Your eyes have just been covered. It's like you can't get out. It's like you're in a dark room and you can't find the way out. Your way out is through Jesus today. He said he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He is a way maker today. He'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He's opening up your eyes right now. Even as I'm speaking, God's doing a work in you to prepare you that when you come down and they lay their hand on you, something's going to happen in your life. You don't even know. You won't even understand what it's all about. But God's going to do a miracle in your life today. I sense that. You're in a dark room. I don't want anybody looking around right now. Every eye closed, even the people up front. Every eye closed. I sense the Lord. Who am I talking to when I say, you're in a dark room today? Wave your hand at me real quick right now. I'm going to believe God for something great. You're just in a dark room. Why? Some of you, you're letting pride get in the way. Let God touch you. Lift your hand up. If you're that one, you're in a dark room, put your hand up. I need to come out of that today. He sees that. He's going to help you right where you're at today. He's going to deliver you. He's going to set you free. Hallelujah. You're here today. I don't want nothing from you. I'm not asking you to join church or nothing. All I'm asking you is to make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. No one's looking around. Just the Spirit of the living God. You've never surrendered your life completely to Him. I want you to put your hand up in the air. I'm going to pray for you before I leave the pulpit today. You've never completely surrendered. See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I thank you, God. 7. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. And then when I'm done, I'm going to close. And I want all of you that ask Christ to come into your life. I want you to come down all the way on my far right. Your far left, Chris. I want those of you that ask him to come into your life today. I want you to go and tell him, I just prayed that prayer with Pastor. But I want everybody to pray it with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life today. I know you came to save me. And today I ask you to come into my life. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again from the grave. And I believe you came to give me eternal life. And I believe that you came to save me and to be in me and to be with me. Today I give my life to you. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, give the Lord another praise. I want everybody, if you would, stand up. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. If you're able to stand up today. Father, I declare blessing, Lord, over their lives today. Each and every person that's listening, that's in this beautiful sanctuary right now, God. May they be blessed as they go, as they walk in the way, as they rise up. Lord, whatever they lay their hand to, I declare that you're going to bless it. Today was a special day for the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, that each one will know that in a powerful way today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you. Listen, come to the altar if you need prayer. If you gave your heart to Christ, go see Chris. You can come down to anyone here. And then everybody else, make sure you stop in the foyer. You get blessed and be a blessing to others today.